God can take that a couple different ways. So we've had a good meeting so far. Now we're going to hear from Brother Tom. The topic I was given was setting goals for eternal happiness. I thought about that a minute. I said, well, what's that really mean? Is it like setting goals for retirement? Some of you are retired. Some of you are getting close. My youngest just turned 5. I don't even need to be thinking about it. No, we're doing. What do you need for a happy retirement? If that were what we were talking about, what do you need to be happy in retirement? Well, money. Been working, you gotta have some money to live on. You need your help. If you can't go do anything just laying around, what good is it, but you know, be retired? And you need something to do. My wife's grandfather, on her mother's side, he read gas meters in Savannah, Georgia. And my father-in-law has told this story to me many times. When he retired in his 60s, said he could walk up to a 4-foot chain link fence and just hop right over it. He did that all the time. It's pretty good for somebody in their 60s. He was in very good health. He was active. He was moving around all day. He retired, and I think within a year or two, he was dead. No heart disease, no big, any kind of disease. His problem was he had nothing to do. He didn't hunt, he didn't fish, he didn't golf. He just went home after he retired and sat down. And just gave up, basically. So, we need something to do. And you probably can find some other things you're going to put on the list for a happy retirement. Well, I got thinking about setting goals for eternal happiness. That ain't the same. The goal is very simple, and it's singular. It's one thing. Revelation 21, where heaven is being discussed. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Brother Ron talked about being joyful. It didn't touch this. We can be joyful here, but that's not even a good shadow of what awaits us in heaven. Because while we may be a joyful people, there are still times. Like the other day when we had to attend the funeral of our dear brother, when tears will be shed, there will be sadness, there will be pain, there will be problems, not in heaven. So the goal for eternal happiness, go to heaven. I guess I can sit down now, right? Don't know any better now. But that really is the goal. If you want to be eternally happy, go to heaven. Now, I'm going to pick on Andy probably several times in the next few minutes. See, I'm around Ben all the time. Ben talks about you. Y'all play golf together. And so Ben's not here to pick on someone, pick on you. Now, somebody asked yesterday if it was you who came up with their topic. Did you came up with the title of mine? I'm going to nitpick. I've been in education for almost 20 years. Perhaps it's just where I've been, who I've been around, but there's two words that I've seen some administrators and some other people, they will have a cow if you mix up a couple words. And that's goal and objective. Some of you are teachers, you may know what I'm talking about, but they get bent out of shape because goals and objectives aren't the same thing. So I'm going to take the topic you gave me and I'm going to twist it a little bit. The goal is heaven. I'm going to look at some objectives. We're going to talk about the difference here. Some objectives that might help us get there. Here's something I pulled offline, Wikipedia, of all places. It just shows the difference between a goal and an objective. It said a goal is the purpose toward which an endeavor is directed. Big fancy words. It's where you want to end up. It's what ultimately you're trying to accomplish. Make it to heaven. Have a happy retirement. Be better at golf than your brother-in-law. The objective sounds almost the same. Something that your efforts or actions are intended to accomplish, your purpose, your target. Who's better at golf, you or Ben?
It depends on which aspect you're looking at.
Very careful answer.
If it's driving or if it's irons.
Would you like to be a better golfer than your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
All right, so maybe that's his goal. Be a better golfer than Ben. Well, then you might come up with some objectives that would help you reach that. Maybe play at least 50, 60 holes of golf a week. Maybe always shoot at least a certain score. Maybe spend a certain amount of money per month on new golf equipment. Whatever it might be. If that's your goal you're really after, you need to come up with some things you need to be doing to get there. Example I have here again, retirement. You want to have a happy retirement. One objective might be to put away a certain amount of money a month. You know, a lot of people just go through life. I have to say my parents are kind of this way. Retirement's out there. They're retired now. Not giving a whole lot of thought to it. You know, things will work out. You know, there's some things in life that we don't need to just kind of leave to chance. We need to make sure we're very proactive. We work at it. We know where we're going. We know how we're getting there. And heaven needs to be top on that list. Goals are based on ideas. What's a happy retirement? That varies from person to person. An objective is based on facts. Investing $500 a month, we understand that. Generic versus specific, broad, narrow. Goals are not always that easy to measure. Objectives must be measurable. I have been in many meetings, for myself or someone else or a group. There's somebody overseeing it. We're writing objectives for something. And they'll come ask us, how are you going to measure that? I'm not sure. Bad objective, start over. You've got to be able to measure it. Goals are long term, objectives mid to short term. Now that's a bunch of education gobbledygook by and large. We're going to try to make some sense of it as we go and make it meaningful. You ever heard the saying, life's a journey, not a destination? But I see a lot of people, and I teach high school, and I see a lot of these kids, especially that age, they are very destination-oriented. For a lot of these kids, getting that driver's license. Life begins when you get your driver's license. Did you know that? It does. Ask them. But then by the time they're seniors, they've been driving a couple of years. You know, mom, dad want me to go here and you go to the store and do this and that. It's become a chore almost. It's just not that big of a deal anymore. It did not completely revolutionize their life and solve all the problems like they thought it would. Graduating high school, get me out of this prison! There's life out beyond these walls somewhere. That's what all these kids think. What they don't understand is you get outside of these walls where you think it's so hard and where really you have so little responsibility. And you get out there in the real world, you get a job and you get married, and there's all these things you never thought about, and you realize how easy you had it back in high school. Turning 18. Get out of my mom and daddy's house. I'm so tired of all the rules. They won't let me do anything. I'll be on my own. Pay all your own bills. Your rent, your insurance, lights and water, and all of these things. It's all yours now. They don't realize. Then 21, I can go buy my own booze now. Cigarettes. Of course, in high school, most of them already have figured out ways to get it anyway if they want it. Heard this mentioned a minute ago. And the house paid off. I'll sing all kind of praises if they would let me out of my mortgage. But a lot of people have the feeling, if I get my house paid off, life will be wonderful. But you know what? If you've got health problems, they're still there. If you have problems with your spouse, they're still going to be there. If your kids are having problems in school and getting in trouble and failing classes, still going to be there. None of these things, these destinations, winning the lottery. You know, some people refer to that as a stupid tax. You know, a lot of people have the idea that if they win the lottery, just flip the switch, life is now wonderful. All the problems go away. No. Usually end up with more problems. Because now all of the people who know you who have problems bring their problems to you and want money. They'll solve their problems. And retirement. We look at these destinations as if they're going to fix our problems. When we reach them, life's going to be wonderful. Doesn't happen. I heard, I think it was Ron the other day, that's Friday in Douglasville, talking about the day. Don't worry about yesterday, tomorrow. All we can really control is today. Live today. Do the best we can today. And that really is very good advice. Today. These things come and they go. They don't solve our problems. Life is a journey, but it does have a destination. And that's what we're talking about. Where will we wind up at the end of this life? Eternal life, eternal damnation. It's our choice. In Matthew 19, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Seems like his goal is eternal life. That's what we're after. He's at least has that goal in mind. What does he need to do to get there? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, Which? No murder, adultery, no steal, no false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbors yourself. The young man said, I've done all this. I've met all these objectives. Is there anything else? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell everything. Not this and this, and keep the rest. Everything. Come follow me. Could do it. Went away sorrowful. He had great possessions. What do we have to do to have eternal life? Well, I think we're no different than this young man in the first part, definitely. Keep the commandments. Now, it's not just the Ten Commandment law, which is basically what Jesus is quoting in here. But like this young man, riches were his problem. Mike may have a problem. I don't. I may have some. He doesn't. We all have different problems, strengths, and weaknesses. Figure out what they are and tackle them. Our goal is a home in heaven. One objective we know, keep the commandments. We're going to come back to that in a few moments. And there's a little more to it. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. I believe Ron used this a few moments ago. And I believe he also said, you need to get a Bible and look and see what he was talking about. That's a good thing I already had that put in here. We're going to look and see. What did he say? What did he tell these people so that they may know they have eternal life? Well, I'll back up to the beginning of this chapter. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. There's that again. Love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I see three important things in this passage. Loving God, keeping the commandments, and faith. And we're going to spend the next few minutes talking about these three things and how these should direct us toward our goal of eternal happiness. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. These two are so intricately tied together. What he said right here. You cannot love God and go do the opposite of what he says. It doesn't work. We'll talk about why that is in a few minutes. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected or completed in us. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We live and breathe and walk on this earth just as Jesus Christ did. We have a high priest that knows what it is to be human. He understands us. But sometimes you get those thoughts, you've done something you know you shouldn't have, you're ashamed. Oh, God will never understand. Well, he understands. He had the same temptations as we do. He just didn't give in to them. But he understands that we can have boldness. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And what is love? It is not, as I hear Brother Tim Eldridge say all the time, a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love, as mentioned here, is not an emotion. It's an action. An attitude. Thayer defines it as brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, doing good unto others. I'll never forget years ago when Brother Sam Digg cleared something up for me. I always read these passages about loving your enemies. I kept thinking, I can't do this. There's some people I just don't like and never will like. I cannot make myself like them. And I got to love them? And then when he explained, no, you don't have to like them. This love has nothing to do with emotion. You have to do good to them. Show a loving attitude toward them. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Their response is, Lord, when do we do that? I know you're the Lord and all, but I think you may be mistaken. We didn't do that. We never saw you like this. He said, oh yeah, you did. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. How do we love God? If love is doing good, now, I'm not trying to disagree with what Don said a minute ago. God doesn't need Tony Whitt. If I walk out of here right now and turn my back on the church and never darken the door of a church building again, God will be fine. The church will be fine. And I know what Don meant in general. God puts things in the hands of men and we are the light. But individually, God doesn't need me. And He'll be happy if I'm His servant and do His will as with anyone else. But my decisions are not going to make or break God's plans. How do we show love toward God? By loving His children. By loving our fellow man. That's how we show our love to God. Know what He said here? Lord, we didn't see you. Well, you did it to your fellow man. You did it to me. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I've seen this passage many times. I gained a new appreciation for it the last couple of days. Why is it that all the law and the prophets hang on these two? Well, really because they're the same thing. How do we love God? We love God with all our heart, soul, mind. How do we do that? By doing this. Loving our neighbors, ourselves. That's how we show our love to God. Now we turn to faith. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? The brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food? And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? I heard Brother Ron tell a story yesterday about one time they were in Africa and it was raining and they were on a steep road. And the way he said it, they had to get basically five old drunks to help get them out of there. Now, he said they had to pay a pretty good bit of money too. How would that have worked? You agreed on a price, you paid them, and they said, have a good night, safe driving, see you later. You'd still be sitting there. It's actions that matter. Words can be important. Intent can be important. But it's what we do that really matters. Start misbehaving now. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Here's the battery, Dad. Yeah, men may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. How do we show our love? We do good to others. How do we show our faith? Works. And a lot of that's going to be doing good to others. Doing the right thing. Keeping the commandments. It all ties together. It's our goal, a home in heaven. And the objective we had a moment ago, keep the commandments. Here we go again. You have a beautiful daughter there. Now, again, Ben has run me. I can't look at her without thinking of what he calls her. Yeah. I hope you know that, your brother goes all over Randolph County and other places calling her monkey. That's probably what I'll call her. So that's what I won't know her real name. Andy, does she know all the commandments?
Not yet.
What kind of parents are you?
She has my memory.
We're not born knowing the commandments. How can we keep them if we don't know them? Now, even though Brother Harry may come close, I doubt anybody in here fully knows every aspect, everything there is to know from the Bible. So rather than being there, I think we need to change that. I'm going to just list some things here. Some of you may look at some of these things and say, gee, I got to cut back to this. Others of you may be like, I can't do that. Let me tell you why I have this slide here. You know, a lot of people, January 1st, they make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. 99.9% of resolutions are done and over with a couple weeks later. They're forgotten. I think the problem is, well, of course, you've got to be committed to something to begin with, but even if you want to do something, people have a goal in mind, but they don't ever stop and think about what they have to do to get there. And rather than saying, I want to lose weight, and just hoping it kind of happens, instead say, okay, I want to walk 2 miles a day. I want to do this at this meal and limit this and cut this out. Have a plan. Have something where you know if you're doing it or not. More concrete. As Brother Bill Jr. said yesterday, we can be pretty good at telling people what to do. We kind of fail sometimes on how do you get there. And for some people, actually setting out some objectives. I need to do this. You know, I think all of us would agree we'd be better off if we knew the Bible better. But do we study the Bible enough to get there? If not, we got to set aside some time to do that. Pray 3 times a day. Some of you may do a lot more than that. I can almost see Ryan right now. I got you on this one. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. I was ready for it. Offering thanks, we should do, absolutely. But there also should be some times when it's just you and God. Not the family or whoever's praying together, but some personal time with you and your Savior. Talk to Him. Why don't I throw prayer in here when it really wasn't in anything we've seen so far? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we can stand here for the next hour and look at passages about prayer and the importance of it. But just for spiritual understanding and wisdom and knowledge, prayer is crucial. We need to make sure we're praying as we ought. At least 3 times a day, show love to someone who doesn't love you. By that, I just mean somebody who has not done something good to you already, so that you're not just returning the favor. And I've never really thought about that, but you know, if you actually look for an opportunity, total stranger, maybe somebody you're acquainted with, but just do something good for them. But sometimes you may get the opportunity, like I've heard mentioned twice already this morning, stopping on the side of the road and have somebody change a tire. A lot of times it's not that big. Sometimes you see somebody, total stranger, and you can just tell they're having a bad day. Open the door for them, smile, say, how you doing? You never know. That might make their day. It may just set them off, or it may not. But try to look for opportunities to, as Don said, let our light shine. Now, I bet you if you just started making a mental note of this, try to do it at least 3 times a day. Before you know it, you're going to be doing it 5, 10 times a day. It's just going to become your nature. If we don't start somewhere, we're never going to get anywhere. At least once a day, show love to an adversary. Now, maybe somebody that you know that has some bad blood. It may be a complete stranger that all of a sudden you find yourself in what you might consider an adversarial situation. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Well, you can blow the horn and fuss at them and talk to them, yell at them, because they can hear you probably. But... Or a mile down the road when they're still weaving around and they want to get in front of you again, they get the blinker on, let them in. Smile, wave. Trying to let that light shine, Don. At least once a day, try to involve a non-Christian in a discussion about the Bible. You never know how many doors could be opened if you did that. And again, if you start looking for those opportunities, and you may not be able to do it once a day. Maybe once a week. Maybe 5 times a day. Who knows? But we need something to aim for. At least once a week, try to invite someone to study the Bible with you. This is where we fall down, I think, as a whole. We don't try to study with people. At least once a week, depending on where you live and who's around, maybe 5 times a week. Visit somebody who needs encouragement. Somebody who's sick, elderly, whatever the problem may be, visit. We know the scriptures on that. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life," speaking to the Jews. "And they are they which testify of me." Do we know we have eternal life? Have we set any kind of goals? Any objectives? Or are we just wandering through life? I'm still here. Sam Digg, I've heard him say it multiple times. I can't do the voice the way he does, but he talks about people. Well, I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven. A lot of people have that mindset. They just go through life. They're pretty good moral people. They go to church. And they just hope they make it. We need to be, again, a little more proactive. Trying to do everything we can to make sure we make it. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Patient continuance. We're going to have problems and trials and tribulations and difficulties, but we just got to keep going. We've got to work at it. I think I have one last passage. "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't wait and hope it falls in your lap. Go grab it. Know the commandments. Keep them. Love God. You do that by loving your fellow man, doing good. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Our goal is eternal life. How are we going to get there? Jesus is the light, is the way. We got to know the instructions, the roadmap, the Bible. Study, obey.